I thought the whole time that each woman got 100 penises.
How?
They printed them.
But what were you supposed to do with that? Just like, here
go
you go.
Go home.
See you next week.
Yes.
Or see you next month. This is 100 phalluses.
Yeah. That's what I thought was happening in this study.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I'm scared. Katie is laughing to herself, and I have to know what it's about. So she's going to kick off.
Well, can you believe this?
Yes. Well,
we got a listener tweet from Rhonda.
Nice. Thank you, Rhonda.
Last week, right away, alerting us, have you heard about the Krampus film? I could not believe this is actually happening.
Okay, what
thank
is
you
it?
So much, Rhonda. First
Katie
of all,
is a Krampus aficionado and a Krampus fan.
Yes, there is a new Krampus movie coming out, 2015.
Okay,
starring one Adam Scott.
Get out of here!
Yes.
I just saw him in a commercial. Looking weird, real weird.
Weird.
He's the discount Jason Bateman.
He is that's the thing. He's the discount Jason Bateman. Toni Collette stars opposite him.
I like Toni Collette. She's one of these actresses who people can say, oh, she's been around for a long time. She's everywhere.
Yeah, but she's good.
Yeah, she's really good.
She's a quality actor.
Yeah, and she doesn't like mess around. Her personal life is not on display.
She is the discount.
No. Okay, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we
did
have to
I
do that
ruin
one.
That? Yeah. I ruined everything.
That's okay. Well, but you haven't ruined it because at some point you need to...
I need to flesh it out.
Of
course.
And I'll probably just beep out so people will have to be listening in.
Yeah.
Just be frustrated. Okay.
So tell me about Adam Scott. This is the Krampus movie. So they're all...
Which one is Krampus?
We don't know.
Okay. Because I'm voting for Toni Collette. Not that I don't like Adam Scott, but she's got chops.
Yeah, she could do it. She could pull off a better Krampus than Adam Scott.
And he looks like DNA got cheap with his nose and, you know, around his face. I don't know. There's something... He just looks like the hedgehog. He looks like he's got fewer features.
He's elfin, but
every time.
Yeah.
He can't...
Features. His features are disappearing.
Yes, I think there's some weird kind of thing out there. Maybe in the night someone's taking them. They're adding them to... Jason Bateman is taking Adam Scott's features.
In the night.
All right, so Krampus.
This is this upcoming horror film. It's
oh, it's a
out.
Horror film?
It's a horror film.
Okay.
It's horrible. And it's going to be released December 4th.
Okay.
And
December 4th, we will be there.
December 5th is the Krampus, well, the 6th, really. So the eve of the 6th,
okay.
You're supposed to put out your shoes and you get a little treat from St. Nicholas. If you're good, but if not, then the Krampus will pay you a visit.
So what's the plot? Do you know?
The plot is this dysfunctional family clashes over the holidays. Young Max is disillusioned as he turns his back on Christmas.
So okay, so is that Adam Scott, like, on his knees? That's what I'm imagining.
No. Some little kid. I don't know.
Who doesn't even get billed.
Yeah.
It's like a Fred Savage-like kid.
Yeah. That's exactly how a Fred Savage-like kid.
Yeah.
Gets disillusioned, turns his back on Christmas. Little does he know, this lack of festive spirit has unleashed the wrath of Krampus.
Because when you turn your back on the birth of Christ, you get it.
Right. A demonic force of ancient evil intent on punishing non-believers.
Okay.
All hell breaks loose as...
Literally, hell opens up in this movie.
As beloved holiday icons take on a monstrous life of their own. Laying siege on the fractured family's home and forcing them to fight for each other.
Oh, this sounds
to survive.
Sounds low budget. I got the feeling they're not leaving the house on this one.
Right. Like, they are stuck. Oh, there's going to be a storm outside.
Yeah. And then by a storm, we mean fewer union people outside working on this film.
Right. But then they had this, where'd they have it here? All right. I was looking at the cast and they have Dark Elf and Hero Dark Elf.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And if I...
If this is some...
See, anything schmaltzy coming out of either of these elves, I'm going to be go right back to that the writer and the director and be like, what you doing?
But are you referring to blackface? Is that what you're concerned about? Is someone going to cork up?
I'm the dark elf. You know, like a little... and then the hero dark elf.
Maybe the hero dark elf is a little bit lighter.
No, but having that, like, you know, a fit of conscience, like, I'm going to be the good one, you know. Like, no, I don't want that.
So the story of Krampus, though, is he's got these elves who help him torture the children.
Maybe.
Right?
No, well, we don't, Krampus, Krampus is the beats children.
Yeah, but I thought he had a couple of helpers.
He could
come along with
him. Yeah, he's supposed to have.
So these are these guys, okay. And is that Adam Scott? We don't know.
We don't know. Oh, I think he's the head of household.
Okay. Oh, and Toni Collette is his wife?
Yeah.
This doesn't seem well matched at all.
Well, Toni Collette's got a lot of work to do with this movie.
Yes. First of all, she's got to hold up Adam Scott.
Yeah.
She's got to relate to whatever kind of character he's going to create.
Yeah.
And this whole Krampus situation, the fact that they can't leave the house because the production is cheap.
Yeah.
So this is coming out December 4th.
Yeah.
We're going to go see it.
We're going to go see it for sure.
Don't see it without me, as you usually do.
This happened for Magic Mike.
And then I never saw it.
Hey.
By the time I got around to it, everyone who wanted to see it had already seen it.
Well, we got to get moving on it.
Yes. We should order our tickets ahead of time so we're forced
to go
see it.
And then...
make sure it's a place that serves.
But I got to tell you that people... I have a couple of more things to say about Krampus. First of all, people are throwing the Krampus up on my Facebook page. Like,
because they know you're all about it.
They knew I was all about it. Thank you, showpics.com.
It's actually Katie Krampus Casimir.
That's right. And then, I just want to remind you, all our listeners who have been with us, what did I say in the beginning of 2015?
That it would be the year of Krampus.
I was right.
I hope this film is good. I hope it lives up to your Krampus expectations. I hope we don't have to march on it.
If anyone has any other questions for me, you can ask me. Email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Ask me anything.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Krampus, but ask Katie about it.
But ask me anything, or if you want my prediction, I'll tell you for anything. Because obviously I knew about Krampus.
Yeah. Anything? Okay. Sure. I'm going to email you a question. Better one. All right, so I have some barnyard news.
Oh, barnyard news. So this is a segment where we talk about barnyard.
Yeah,
news.
Barnyard-related animals or animals that we think could be near a barnyard.
We don't care about the barns.
Yeah, it's the yard. This is bees behaving badly. Ooh. Now, I feel that the bees are coming out of this looking a bit rough, but apparently bees are just thieves. They instead of going out and getting their own pollen and nectar, they steal it.
What?
From nearby nests.
This is the way the world is working
now. Yes. What is the shock in this? So it says here, with their stripy jerseys and built-in pollen swag bags, already mischaracterized as a hoodlum, it might come as no surprise that bumblebees have found out to be nature's burglars. Like, they're the only ones.
Right.
For the first time.
Yeah. Let's talk about raccoons for a second.
Okay. For the first time, bees have been spotted stealing pollen and nectar from neighboring nests. And I bet you if you ask the bees, they would say that was their first time, too. It's just like when you get caught smoking. You're like, it's my first time.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Really? You're smoking Benson and Hedges on your first time? Yes, I am. It says bee experts at University of Sussex place tracking devices on bees.
How?
I researched this. They're little tiny, like, tracking devices. They're teeny tiny. They glue them onto the bee. And then the bee has no privacy whatsoever. So then the bees, they're tracking the bees from three colonies.
They should say, buzz off.
Yeah. They're bumblebees. So they put them on three insects from three different colonies, and they saw how far they traveled, and they noticed that some bees were just traveling next door.
Not two bees?
No.
Or not two bees?
3 bee or not 3 bee. So they found that 1 in 8 bees, instead of like going off to work in the morning like they're supposed to, just went next door and stole.
Sure. Well, they figure it out.
Maybe they were visiting. Maybe they had a friend. You don't know that they took pollen from
without permission. Maybe that's like their Tupperware of the animal kingdom.
It's like, you know, I'm having a rough time. Can I just get a little pollen?
Yeah.
You know, not a big deal.
Or even like, oh, we made so much. You know the neighbors always grow too many cucumbers.
Exactly. When they're away, they don't mind if I go over there and take the cucumbers. It says, one of the scientists said, I had 3 colonies set up at 3 sites across East Sussex, tagged them with their radio frequency tags, which meant that every time they exit and enter the colony, a little ID comes up on the computer. So basically, this is like bee homeland security, these assholes. And they just want to know how far they're going, if they're foraging, and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so they had a quick look at the data, and they realized that some of the bees were just going to the other bees' colonies and then hanging out there for a minute, and then flying back out and going back to their own colony. You know what? I feel like these bees are being, you know, mischaracterized. You don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, you don't hear their conversation.
Maybe he's fucking someone else's wife. Who knows? Yeah. Doesn't have to be theft. Could just be adultery.
Right, or maybe this is just like bee community.
Yeah. It says 14% of bees were the thieves, basically. It doesn't mean there's less pollinating going on. It means that neighboring colonies basically have to work harder to gather their resources. You might be right, though. Maybe they're working in conjunction with each other. Maybe it's not like, this is my pollen. It's like root pollen.
Yeah, or yeah, maybe this is the time, this year, this group works harder than the other group rests. You know, maybe they're just splitting up the work.
Yeah. Right? It says bumblebees, unlike honeybees, live in smaller groups with sometimes only 50 members, which I didn't know. Mm-hmm. They feed on nectar. They use their tongues to dip into flowers. But then some bumblebees, instead of dipping in, they stick a hole in the bottom of the flower and they get it from there. They shank the flower.
Nice.
And they just take what they can.
I like their style.
I like their style, too. They're calling it robbing. I'm saying it's being enterprising. Stop criminalizing bee behavior. They're doing this because they want to let people who are working with bees want to know how they can manage the bees better. Good luck. Good luck. It's like herding cats. Are you kidding me?
You can't manage a bee.
A bee does what a bee wants to do.
Yeah.
Leave a bee be, I guess. Oh, basically.
Terrible. Terrible.
I just thought that was interesting.
I think it's really interesting.
I don't like the idea that they're sticking a little, like, radio tag on a bee. I wish we could communicate with them, because I bet the cursing would be furious.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, I'm just trying to get over there, get a little bit of pollen. What? Yeah. What?
The curse. Someone comes by and grabs their little leg.
Yeah.
And something glues it to. Oh, could you imagine someone gluing something to your leg?
Well, it's like you're leaving your house in the morning to go to work, and then all of a sudden someone grabs you, sticks a thing on you.
Yeah.
And is like, all right, on your way.
You're like, what is this?
What is this? Next thing you
don't
know,
ask questions.
You've been called up on charges.
Right.
All right, what do you have?
You don't know my life.
Yeah.
I have Tales from the Campfire.
So Tales from the Campfire is a segment where we find stories on the internet of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, urban legends, ghost stories.
All kinds of...
Myth?
Yeah, and shadow people.
Shadow people?
Whatever.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire, so...
Gather around, listeners.
All right, so Katie, what do you have?
I have here... This one's called Imp on the Ceiling.
Okay, you know how we do.
Not to give anything away.
Okay. Imp on the Ceiling.
We never do enough stories about imps.
Maybe we should look into imps a little further. Yeah. I mean, we've had the Tokolosh, which is the South African imp with the gigantic penis that was like fucking someone in the next village.
Right.
It's so big. But aside from that,
My mom used to call us imps. Like, we'd jump around as kids. Yeah. You little imps.
And then you jump more.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm an imp.
Yeah, look at me.
All right, so here it goes. This is the most recent experience I've had. A few nights ago, I was asleep in bed.
Okay.
It's exciting life.
Yeah.
My husband and I had been watching TV, winding down from the day. My husband got up.
In bed?
Yeah.
Boo.
My husband got up to turn off the TV. Oh, see? I don't know about that.
Did you really get up to turn it off? Or did you, because you don't have a remote control?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I smell shenanigans here. All right.
I got up on the ceiling.
And when he got back in bed, he accidentally woke me up. The TV was already off, so my eyes were already adjusted to the dark room.
Really? None of this makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fully awake, I see my husband curling up next to me and roll over to give him more room.
Wow.
Get away. I know what he wants.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, I'm
poke,
sleepy.
Roll. That's how that works.
Now on my back.
Wow.
I look up and a shock went through me. There, right above my head on the ceiling, was this creature that I can only describe as an imp.
Okay. How?
It was dark like a shadow, but it had a clear defining lines.
Okay.
It was small, slightly bigger than a cat. As I realized what I was seeing, it craned its neck looking down and over its body to look at me.
Okay.
That's when I saw its face.
Okay.
Its head was very round and bald and had human ears that seemed large for its size.
It had human ears as opposed to...
Imp ears. Okay. Which would be,
or a hound dog's ears. I don't know.
Yeah. They seemed large for its size and stuck away from the sides of its head.
Like Obama. I don't like where this is going.
It had large dark eyes.
He's the leader of the free world.
Stop it. Stop it, man.
Yeah.
Not you. I mean,
I'm
talking about the imp.
His ears are getting bigger. Okay.
Well, that happens as you age.
Weird. Yeah. I think that's the white part of him. That's my theory.
Oh, okay.
He's going to have hair coming out of it soon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has large dark eyes that were completely round and took up most of the face.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Leaving just a sliver of wrinkled forehead.
Ew. Okay.
Its cheeks were wrinkled and slightly sunken, and it had a small human nose. Why is there so much human in this imp?
I don't know.
It must be a cross between imp and human.
But do we know what what an imp looks like?
Oh. It had a wide mouth with thin lips and a small chin.
Okay.
It had a small spider-like body with 6 spider-like legs.
Stop. This is not an imp anymore, lady. We've gone, you, okay, humanoid features, yeah, all that kind of stuff, fine. 6 legs?
6 legs.
First of all, spiders have 8 legs, but.
Right.
I don't, you know.
No, the end of each leg was a small gecko-like foot with 3 suction cup toes.
I thought she couldn't see anything.
I know.
Damn. It really came into view.
But her eyes were adjusted to the dark because she just woke up.
Yeah, but she's like a cat, apparently.
Yeah. And through it, it had a spider-like abdomen, and I could see bones of a human spine protruding from under the skin, ending with a small stubby tail.
Now, lay off the sauce. Really?
From its reaction, it was surprised and knew that I had seen it.
I want...
In detail.
I want the imp story. Like,
as soon as it looked at me, it scurried straight across the ceiling away from me and toward the door. Mm-hmm. It crawled over the door frame and was gone.
Ooh.
You know, don't you hate it when, like, a bug, like, you swat at it and you know you didn't get it, but it's gone?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. As it crawled away, I struggled to reach the light switch on my bed, and by the time I got the light on, it was already gone.
Well, right. Yes. I mean, yes.
It was gone.
Yeah. It crawled away. We got that part of the story. Apparently, you were lying there for a long time. Yeah.
I haven't seen it again so far, and I've looked all over for information, but I haven't found much. I'd really like to know what it was, so if anyone has any information, I'd love your input. Signed, SpookyKitty13.
Well, it sounds like you need to get someone to do some fumigation in there.
Yeah.
Because
it sounds like
whatever it is, it had a lot of legs, and I feel like insecticide is the way to go.
Yeah, right.
You know?
So people are saying, okay, I'm not going to cry a demon, but this strikes me as a lesser demon. One from the lower arcana. For all we know, it could have been some kind of fairy, but I doubt it.
What? How is this a fairy in any way? Were wings talked about?
A fairy, I think, needs a wing.
Yeah, minimum 2 wings. I mean, 1 wing is weird.
Yeah.
Just 1 big-ass wing out the side.
Yeah.
No, a pair, yes. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, but come on. So this lady has, she should just draw it.
Yeah.
And then she just make like a portfolio and maybe illustrate books.
Yeah, because it's a really freaky idea. Like, that's creepy.
It is a creepy
idea.
It
was weird enough that it had the big head and Obama's ears, but then when she threw on the segmented body of...
And it's, she said spider, but we know
But it's missing 2 legs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's got to piss it off. Off the bat.
But a human spine protruding from under the skin, ending with a small stubby
tail.
Yeah,
that's
something.
Creepy. And then what
and
is
then
it, like...
toes with that...
Gecko... Like feet?
Yeah.
Is what it
said? So this was really just a big, like a Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
A thing on the ceiling.
I kind of like this. It was actually creepy to think about. Well played.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. So what do you think it is?
I have no idea because it's just such a hodgepodge of things. You know what? It sounds like an imp and maybe a spider and a lizard had a crazy night.
Yeah.
And this is the result.
And it's a little older.
Yeah, it's a little older.
Yeah, it's not a fresh-faced young
man. Yeah.
This is like an older imp that's seen things.
That's weird. I think we need to do a little research on imps, right? Because maybe there is a type of imp hybrid thing out there that we're just not aware of, like cryptozoology.
And somebody also has to get these people a remote.
Yes, that's a problem, too.
Yeah.
So I have some robot news. Katie and I are both freaked out by the coming robo-apocalypse.
Oh,
I thought
sure.
It was going to be this year. It did start in Korea, but I think the machines have squashed the information because we haven't been hearing about it.
Right. We haven't been hearing about a lot of stuff.
That robot hotel opened up, and then it was like, shh,
yeah.
Nothing. People check in. Do they check out? We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know.
So this is a robot designed to kill starfish will be released on Australian reefs.
What?
So apparently there's a kind of starfish called the crown of thorns starfish, which is destroying coral reefs. All right.
That's
so
a shame because we all like a starfish.
Yeah. And we all like a coral reef. But my first question is like, why are these things so prevalent now?
Mm-hmm.
So it says they're incredibly destructive and they literally eat away at coral reefs and they're eating the Great Barrier Reef. So human divers have been going down and trying to, you know, kill the starfish. But imagine, you know, there's tons of them. So someone has come along and created a robot that will won't remove them from the reef. But this robot knows what the starfish looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It goes down and injects them with a poison that will kill the starfish, but nothing else in the ecosystem.
That sounds like a fourth grade like essay. I injected a poison that killed only this particular thing and nothing else. I don't believe that for a second.
So it says it can work 8 hours a day. It kills 200 starfish in a single dive, but it gets watched over by humans to make sure it doesn't accidentally kill innocent fish. Or, I guess, people as well that might be, you know, around the Great Barrier Reef. It's just weird. Like, I don't like the... And these are... They're fairly autonomous. So it's not like the person who's watching through the eyes of the robot is controlling it. You're just sitting back and watching a robot crawl around and hopefully kill only starfish.
Right.
What if you look away?
Right.
What if I have a tattoo of a starfish?
What if something swims, you know...
In front of it. What if I, for some bizarre reason, on that day are looking rather starfishy?
Yeah.
You know, then what happens?
Yeah, it's like the precision of these robots must be amazing. They can go down there and do this.
And find this one particular kind of starfish and not accidentally... as a person, I might accidentally inject somebody if I'm working 8 hours a day.
Right.
But it's just so they've come up with this robot, and I watched the video of it. It's kind of creepy looking. I mean, sure, they're trying it out on starfish first.
Is it a humanoid looking robot?
No, it's not humanoid looking at all. It just looks like a little a box kind of. It crawls around, and it didn't show you exactly how it does it, because it would probably freak people out. But it has like some kind of hypodermic situation going on, and it just stabs at them and injects the.
So any box around you can stab you.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, like, I don't know. There's so many boxes in here.
Now I'm looking around, though.
I know.
Anything. Like, well, it's not just a box. It could be anything.
Anything can just...
So we have the ability now to say, you know, create a robot that can recognize only Katie and Jaquetta. And then can only kill Katie and Jaquetta. And supposedly not anything else. This is obviously a prototype in my mind. They're going to find other ways to, like, you know what? Why not mice?
Yeah.
Where's that robot?
Yeah.
Where's the robot that can find a mouse and kill it in your apartment, for example? Because I know you were complaining about that. Or where's the robot that can go around and kill roaches?
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's where this needs to be.
We need those robots on the streets of New York in the summer to go around and just stab little roaches.
Can you imagine?
Absolutely.
You walking down the street, just see, like, a shitload of roaches running, like, what's going on? And then you see the boxes. Yeah. Coming right after them. I think it's an interesting idea, but it just also kind of freaks me out that there's a robot out there that, you know, is equipped with a solution in the hypodermic it can kill. And I don't know why it only works 8 hours a day. Lazy.
Yeah, right. It's like, I'm union.
Next thing you know, it's going to be a French work week. No. Whatever. All right, what do you have?
I have here another fashion trend.
Oh, no.
Another beauty trend, rather.
Okay.
And I saw it, and I only bring it up because it's nasty.
Okay.
Honestly, I feel like you could do anything you want with your appearance.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever. You want to walk around, like, whatever, do it.
Fine, do it. For a while, people were putting donut implants on their foreheads. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
Like, it was like a little, it looked like a bagel under your skin.
Oh, okay.
And they were putting that on their forehead.
What was that for?
Beauty, I guess.
Here?
No, it was in Asia.
Okay. Here, the latest trend is bubble nails. I don't know if you've seen this.
I don't even want to hear it.
Yeah, well, what it is, it's like you basically, you use acrylics on your nails to give them a much greater thickness than normal. So it looks like a ball is basically at the end of your finger. And it looks like you smashed your finger and it's swollen at the end.
Because it makes the whole finger look like there's a ball on the end.
Yeah.
Is that the effect of it? Why?
It just makes the look, they say the point is to make it pop more. Pop, make your manicure pop.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I do that with sparkles, you know?
That's
I like nail art, and I've seen some really crazy looking nail art, but like the fact of the matter is I have to use my hands quite a bit to live.
Yeah.
You know, to cook,
life,
to type, you know, to wash myself, to comb my hair. Oh,
yeah,
it looks bizarre.
It really does. It's just, it's raised up, it's rounded, and it looks like it hurts.
And what, it's made out of acrylic, so it's going to be kind of heavy.
It's acrylic, and so it's going to be about $10 or $15 more than a regular manicure.
Wow. Acrylic is weird. I don't know if you ever used to wear acrylics.
No.
I don't like acrylics because, well, it's toxic, And I don't like anything where the person, and it's usually a woman doing the procedure, has to wear a mask.
Yes.
I feel like that's not a good, you know, place to be in.
Yeah.
I don't know. But this is obviously, like, very chemical.
Yeah. It looks like you stuck your fingertips in a bowl of gumballs.
And then you pull them out.
And it's like, eh, they're glued.
It would be cool if you painted them to look like eyeballs.
Yeah. That's the only thing.
You know? That to me seems cool. Like if it were a costume fixture or something like that.
Sure.
But what about using your fingers? Did it mention anything about that?
No.
Can you type? Can you?
You can know? Because your finger pads are fine. They're exposed. It's mm-hmm. just this raised bubble on top.
And what about personal hygiene?
Yeah, that's what I've got to say.
You know where I'm going with this as a lady. It's like, come on.
No.
Really? Or maybe it's a feature. Who knows?
Oh.
That's bizarre.
Nasty.
I wonder how long it's going to last.
I don't feel like it's attractive.
I don't, unless they're going to really paint the ball in some, like, cool mm-hmm. way. Like I said, like an eyeball or, like, globe or, like, something that's, like, really, because sometimes
that
with fashion, it's way out there.
Yeah.
If something is really bad, but this just looks like a ball. Yeah, right, like gumballs
yeah.
that you put on your hands.
I like gumballs. That's my thing.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
So I have a piece of advice.
Oh, advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet or elsewhere that stinks.
Yeah, and we want to improve upon it.
And it's unqualified.
Oh, I forgot that part.
Yeah.
We sure do. Hashtag advice on advice. Yikes. So this one is from Yin and Yang, Lucy Walton Lang.
What?
So it's, her column is called Yin and Yang.
Okay.
And her name is Lucy Walton
right,
Lang.
Sure.
This is from the UK. And Aaron asks, I've been with my boyfriend for 8 years now, and he will not commit. He lives
wow.
20 miles away in his house, and I live in mine. We are both 50.
Oh.
He says we will live together eventually. Y'all better hurry up.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I feel it's always on his terms. Like, what, he says it on his terms?
Yeah. These are my terms.
Yeah.
Someday
we'll live together. I love
wow.
him dearly, but I feel I'm wasting my time, and
yeah.
we will never be together. I've got to the point now that I want to finish the relationship.
Well, I think she's on a...
Yeah, 8 years?
She's got an idea there.
So, hi, Erin. If you...
Oh, this is the advice now?
This is the advice.
Oh, she's just...
They keep it short and sweet.
Okay.
It's from the UK. They don't go on and on. Hi, Erin. If you feel it's always on his terms, then you could suggest moving to a house that is located somewhere between where the both of you live.
That's not the
That's
issue.
That's not the issue at all.
Do you want to...
Like, is that the problem? It's literally meeting someone halfway. That's not... That's not what that means, meeting someone halfway. It does not mean each of you move 25 miles closer
yeah.
to the other person or whatever it is. Or 10 miles closer because they're 20 miles apart.
Compromise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That way...
Move closer to each other.
Yeah. If you move to a house that is located between the both of you, that way no one is moving all the way to the other's areas and to the other's area, and compromises are being made on both sides. It sounds like he may be a man of habit, and perhaps he has been in his home so long that the idea of moving is unsettling for him. Why not tell him how it makes you feel? Yes, why not? Why have you done that already?
Yeah, no kidding.
He may not realize that it's making you consider ending the relationship. Talk to him about how it feels for him when he considers moving, or if you consider moving. If you're open and honest with each other about the worries you have around sharing a home, then at least you will know if it's a fear of commitment or a fear of change or both.
Didn't she say that it was like, we want to get married someday?
I mean,
get married or moved in?
They're 50 years old. They've been dating for 8 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And the guy is saying, we will live together eventually. But she said, but I feel it's always on his terms.
Yeah.
So I guess he's trying to control both the timing and the
and
location.
The place, yeah.
But if he's, I mean, 8 years is a long
That's
time.
That's a long time. Especially when you're a little bit older, you don't.
Not you don't even have to be this older. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, this is very mature, I feel
this
like.
This is mature. When you're in a relationship, kind of like that kid stuff falls away. You don't need to know a lot more. I don't understand why they're in such a holding
For 8 years?
Yeah.
Like, at that point, I would say, you know, there's always a danger if you're moving with someone after a year or two or even
mm-hmm.
three, depending on how the relationship is. But I think when you're over, you know, when you're over mid-30s,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of know who you're going to be a little bit, you know what
mm-hmm.
you're going to be doing
mm-hmm.
career-wise and family-wise and all that. I'm assuming family is not an issue. I'm guessing they're not trying to start a family.
Yeah, I guess not.
Not like this. Not at 50.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, I would say either if this guy has commitment issues, I don't know, you've been together for 8 years. Maybe he's fucking somebody else.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Right, he likes what he likes.
Yeah.
And this is it. This is what he likes.
Like, he's been happy with this. He's saying it will happen because if he doesn't say that, he probably knows that he's going to lose this person.
And he likes just what is going on right
now. Yeah, he likes what's going on.
This is as good as it's going to get, lady.
At the same time, you let this go on for way too long.
Yeah.
Like, if you really wanted to move in, then you should have brought that up years ago. Now it's 8 years. Mm-hmm. He's been just chilling, laying there, having a good time. Now to make a change after 8 years.
Yeah, that's really not going to happen. So you have to do the thing where you're going to be like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And if you don't want it, then I'm going to go.
But I don't know about this move. Each of them move 10 miles.
that's not the point.
That's not the point at all. Like, that wasn't, the question wasn't, where should we move?
What if that was like armpit town?
Yes.
That's the only spot, but it's exactly 10 miles in for both of us. It's armpit town.
But I'm wondering, like, what kind of an area do they live in that they're 20 miles away from each other? Like, they're probably not in the city.
Not in the city. They're in, like, two different suburbs.
Yeah. And they're commuting 20 miles.
It's not too bad,
I guess. But I mean, if they've been in a relationship for 8 years, how often do you think they're seeing each other?
So if they're 20 miles away, you know,
they see each other every day.
Sure, why not? At least every day.
So then he's
at least.
So he's going over to her house, like, what, after work?
Yeah, after work, they each go to each other's houses, whatever.
I feel like one of the reasons why people move in is because they get tired of the constant back and forth. And eventually they're like, half of my stuff is here, half of my stuff is there. Let's
just do it together.
Yeah, let's combine this thing and get it together. But after 8 years at 50, it's like,
forget it. But if they're 20 miles away from each other, that's like really convenient to still have your own life and to still see somebody whenever you want to see. My advice is leave. Just go. No matter if he says, let's move in, just go anyway.
Yeah, just go. I think it's too late. We say run.
Run.
That's our advice.
Run fast, run
Girl,
far.
Run. Girl, comma, run. You're listening to Hey, You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. All right, what do you have?
This is some more advice.
Sweet, bonus advice.
This is bonus because it's from 1690.
Wow. What did they have to say back then?
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, what were the issues back then?
Mm-hmm. 1690?
What's 1690.
It's like, you know, should I get an Albrecht or a print for my walls? Or should I wait till,
were personal problems the same? What were the fears? What was going on? So the people that thought a little bit more, they had these kinds of questions, which were, why is thunder more terrible in the nighttime?
Huh. I don't know. Scary? Everything's more terrifying in the nighttime.
Yeah, and the answer is in the desert. It's just Q for the question, A for the answer. There's no
wind up.
There's nobody. This was in the Mercury Oracle printed in 1703.
To be fair, back then printing stuff was a hell of a lot more difficult. Like, you had to have economy of words because you have to move the blocks around. It's like, let's just get to it.
Right, and there was no columnist. Like, it's there's no Ask Amy. There's no Mrs. Webb.
Dear Albrecht.
So the answer, why is thunder more terrible at the nighttime? In the dead of night, noises are rendered more distinct and consequently more terrible by the universal stillness everywhere else.
That's nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah, well done. Bravo. I have no critique.
Universal stillness everywhere else.
Because it was quiet as hell back then.
Yeah.
You know? Really quiet.
Right. You take away one of the senses. I like to add on that.
Yeah. Plus, there's nothing else going on.
Yeah. Nothing else to think about.
No.
No smartphone.
Everything closed at like 3.
There's no internet.
There's no internet at all.
Okay, the question. My father had a dog, which he kept a great many years, in which time I had two brothers and one sister that died.
Okay. Is there a connection?
It was observed that this dog, always the day before they died, went about 100 yards from the house and laid his nose towards the church where they were all buried, and howled a strange, hideous manner for an hour or more at a time. When my father died, he did the same. Not the father.
Okay.
Now it seems as if this dog has some prophetic, or what to call it, knowledge of these matters.
Okay. Wow. That's a bold move. Okay. I'd be like, answer, get rid of that dog. If you want to live.
Yeah, right. We can't tell you what to make of 100 of such instances as these, some of which we ourselves are assured to are true. All we can say is there must be...
Give peace a chance. Who is we?
I guess when they're printing.
Oh, that's
they have
okay,
to ask
yeah.
everybody
the paper.
Working on the paper, yeah. That there must be something in it not natural, since what power in nature has a dog more than any other creature to foresee such accidents?
Okay, but that's what they're asking.
Yeah.
Like, and, boo.
They're like, is there something supernatural? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, there's something supernatural. And there's your answer.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's another one. If I am thinking of committing any great or enormous crime and sin, such as adultery.
Okay. For example.
You know.
A friend.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, asking for a friend, right?
Yeah.
But do not personally and actually commit it. Am I guilty of the crime of and sin?
Wow. See, this is a philosophical question. Did they give a short answer?
Well, kind of short. Although our thoughts generally proceed from the habit of our minds, upon which account we are more guilty if they are disorderly, yet our inclinations likewise have a great dependence on the temperament of our bodies.
Okay. No doubt.
A bare disposition is much less culpable than the act. But where there wants nothing but an opportunity to complete it, the crime is the same in the sight of God Almighty. So, to break it down for you.
Yes. To what is it? To think?
So that means if you think about it, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you want nothing more, if you're thinking about it and you're looking for the opportunity, you just can't do it because there is no opportunity.
Nobody will sleep with you.
Like if
you can't try it on with everyone.
Yeah, nobody
nothing.
Will do it.
Yeah, nobody will do it.
Then that's still the same. So
what does the guy have to do to sin around here? You know? It's ridiculous. Why would you write it for, like, this is actually, like, some, a guy was like, I need to know.
I need to know. If I'm just thinking about
yeah.
it, or am I really
this
trying?
Town is so small, because it's the 17th century, that I'm going to write in. Because if I ask, you know, a clergy member, everyone's going to know. Everyone's going to hear it.
Yeah, right.
So I'm going to write it down. Yeah. What, do they just leave it there at night?
Yeah.
Like, on a piece of parchment? Like,
sure. Yeah, right? Like, how are they getting this?
I don't
how
know.
How are they submitting?
I like it. That probably was the juiciest job at that. Was a ye olde whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Like the advice columnist. Well, I wonder if like someone wrote in a question. They were like, what are we supposed to do? I don't know. Give an answer. And when they print it, boom.
And they're like, ooh.
The hot sheets.
And then everybody's talking
yeah.
about it.
Then other people are writing it with more questions. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Where'd you get these from?
One more. Want to hear
it? Yeah, get one more.
One more is... dancing, is it lawful?
That's it.
Yeah. Dancing seems in some sort natural. It's not difficult to leap for joy. And the whole body almost necessarily seems to follow the motion of the spirits and blood.
What kind of dancing were they doing? But that was
this
kind of
natural
square.
Way of expelling mirth, which is also a helpful exercise to the body.
Okay, so dancing's all right.
Yeah.
So this is not a Footloose town. Where's the dancing? Lawful? Not lawful. Discuss. You decide. I wonder if it created controversy. If there are some people who are like, it's not lawful. Are you
yeah.
kidding me? Who wrote this?
Yeah, then they ask, is it proper for a woman to be learned?
Oh.
And then they're like, well.
Who wrote that, a woman?
Right.
Signed, not a woman.
And then it goes on to say here, they may have some learning, but the question is, of what sort and to what degree?
And what will they do with it?
Yeah. I just laughed and spit.
That's why I didn't want you to learn anything. It's behavior like that.
Yeah, and so they bring up the husband. Is it going to interfere with what the husband wants or not? Probably.
I mean, back then it would probably be better off for, because the men were pretty ignorant. You don't need your wife running around with her literacy.
Yeah.
And numeracy, fucking up the, you know.
Yeah. Is it going to take them off their domestic affairs?
Mm-hmm. That is one of the most bizarre. I mean, studies have shown that the more you educate women, the fewer children
yeah.
women have. And that's across the board in every
absolutely.
Culture.
Yeah.
But as for the other duties, I think it's more about economic need
mm-hmm.
or want.
Mm-hmm.
Some women want to get out and do other things outside of the
mm-hmm.
home. Some don't. But in most cultures nowadays, it's like, you better get out there and do something.
Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee that the guy is always going to take care of you. And it's like money is needed and you have opportunities.
Yeah. And why not?
But back then, what did they think the woman was going to do? Run for office? I mean.
Yeah, right, right.
She learned how to add. Now look at her.
Yeah.
She's taking over the mill.
Right.
Interesting.
Taking over the mill.
Or whatever it is. Yeah. Like, men weren't doing anything.
Right.
You know. So I have something here, some penis news.
Penis news. This is Jaquetta's favorite segment.
Yes, I see. Hashtag penis news, dick updates, scrotum stories, the member on the move.
That's right.
This one is about a study that put out that's out there, is putting concerns about penis size to bed. No pun intended. So it's a study by a sexual psychophysiologist.
What?
I know. I had no idea that that even...
Sexual psychophysiologist.
Called Nicole Prowse, in which she used 100 blue plastic 3D printed phalluses.
Okay.
And 75 very lucky female participants.
Did it say very lucky?
No, I put that on there. To determine what women are actually looking for in a penis size. So this woman came, was like, I need you to be in a study.
All right.
I got 100 penises.
Do you have to watch?
We got
to
get through.
Do they have to watch, or is this on their own?
This is on their own. So the women, okay. So what the university discovered is that, you know, they want to shut down misconceptions about how women view male genitalia.
Okay.
Bigger is not always better.
For sure.
So they showed the women 100 printed penises, and they asked them to choose which one they prefer for a long-term relationship.
Okay.
And which one they prefer for a one-night stand.
Oh,
now, I'm sure the results were not that, you know,
surprising. Right.
Overall results show that, on average, participants considered 6.3 inches long with a 4.8-inch circumference. Ooh. Don't spit that out. I just wanted to warn you. 6.3 inches long with a 4.8-inch circumference is the perfect size for a long-term partner.
Wait, for a long-term?
For a long-term partner. It's 6.3 inches long, 4.8 inches around.
Okay.
If you go for a one-night stand, the women wanted 0.1 more inches longer, so 6.4 inches long, and they wanted the circumference to be 5 inches. It's not very big of a difference.
Not a big difference at all.
It says that size matters, but it's the
context. And the guy says you.
Yes. It's the context of it. Men should be thinking fit rather than fat. In other words, women prefer different sizes for different reasons at different times. I'm saying this puts dudes at a disadvantage because they only have one penis.
Yeah.
So they got to make that penis work for all occasions.
Right. Before I go on.
It says, just because a penis is larger doesn't mean that it has the advantage. In the study, 15 women admitted to breaking off the relationship because of a small penis.
Okay.
5 women said they broke off because the penis was too large. The relationship. They broke off the relationship.
The penis.
It says, ultimately, while scientists admit that size does matter, the bottom line is it doesn't have to be huge to satisfy people.
This is true.
The real question remains, and this is what I was thinking too, what did they do with the 100 printed up dicks? They printed up 100 different penises.
Per woman.
No. I'm assuming, I don't think they, look, they didn't.
I thought they didn't, the women
they didn't
try them?
Allow the women to try the penises. What? Come on. This is a family broadcast.
This is what I thought the whole time, that each woman got 100 penises.
How?
They printed them.
But what were you supposed to do with that? Just like, here you go.
Go home.
See you next week.
Yes.
Or see you next month. This is 100 phalluses.
Yeah. That's what I thought was happening in this study.
Well, look, off the bat, a bunch of them, you'd probably be like, no, this looks like a thumb.
Yeah, and exactly. I'd go home. Put them all out.
Put them all out. Check it out. And see what you're going to go with. And this is the thing. So, they put them out and see. And it's funny because I looked at the phalluses. Mm-hmm. They're just like blue. Like, they didn't make them fun.
Why?
They weren't like anatomically detailed in any way. It's just like, I mean, first of all, there's a problem there.
Blue's
because,
for boys.
Well, not just blue is for boys, but like, it was a stick. Basically. And they just gave women 100 sticks and were like, which stick looks the best to you?
Well, you know, and so they did that in the lab?
In the lab.
In front of people. So then you had pressure to pick what everybody else was picking.
I wonder if there was a guy in there who was just like, I have to leave this room right now after seeing these picks.
And who?
I gotta get out of here.
Were they models of other people?
Well, no. Were they real? This is the thing. I was thinking that they come in there with, like, you know, I don't know, Christian Bale's penis. Okay. Jason Bateman's penis, Jeff Goldblum's penis, Idris Elba's penis. No, these are not actual penises. Because then we could see, like, do women prefer a celebrity penis? Or just a man on the street?
Right.
You know, kind of penis. But these were just something that would approximate the length and girth of a penis.
If you're just looking, you're just looking. I mean, what's the...
Yeah, what's the point? Did they say, like,
you need to know what works.
Check them out.
Yeah. Give them a trial run.
Give them a trial run and then come back. Yeah, that would be my study. You probably have more than 75 people signing up for that.
Right.
I'll tell you right now.
Okay. Let's talk about Mars for a second.
Okay.
And so we had the expedition to Mars, and they made it.
Yeah. Okay. Bravo!
Yeah. And
we applaud you.
A lot of photos were taken, and the photos now have been sent back to Earth.
Okay.
So we can see what's going on. There's tons of photos, and they're all coming.
Are people seeing stuff that's not there already?
Yeah. Basically, there are lizards and mermaids and traffic lights and jelly donuts and a statue of Barack Obama. Like, there's all these dust.
Really?
Dust and rock.
They must be working quickly if they got the Barack Obama statue up there.
Yeah, so people are looking at the pictures and enlarging them, and they're saying, oh, my God, look at this. And so now all the UFO and
the ufologists,
conspiracists are saying, oh, this is now proof. Look, is that a woman standing out there? No.
No, it's not a woman standing out there. What? Who saw a jelly donut as a hungry ufologist out there? That's insane.
And then there was one that actually looked like a giant rat.
Okay.
Like, oh, wow, is that a rat crawling around on the surface of the planet?
No, it's not. It's your imagination trying to make sense of what you see. Do they see us out there yet?
Right.
Hey, you know, it's shot glass out there.
Right. Yeah, and a mermaid, of course. So all these things are being seen, quote unquote, but yeah, people...
What do they really see?
No, they're seeing rocks.
Yeah, it's just rocks. Right.
Rocks, you know.
Like, I think it would be interesting if they had a picture of, like, something, like, obviously peering into the camera.
Yeah. And there's one that looks like a crab.
Oh, no. Poor NASA. Here they are trying to, like, spread science around the world, and this is what they come. Like, here are amazing pictures. It's a mermaid. No, it's not.
Oh, there's not a mermaid on the
surface. No, there's not a mermaid anywhere on any surface of everything. Of anything. No. Statue of Barack Obama?
No.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. The doctor says there is a cost to a larger phallus. All intercourse causes tearing and pushes bacteria into the vagina. Not all of it causes tearing, people.
Come on.
What's going on?
Come on. Take it easy.
What's she doing?
Yeah, right.
Larger phallus probably causes more tearing. Yeah, I mean, it depends on how you're doing with it. And may push more bacteria into the vagina. Ain't nobody thinking about that.
I don't know about that. If something has bacteria, it has bacteria.
Yeah, a small penis can be filthy.
Yeah.
A large penis can be very clean.
Right.
You know? It says
all because they're like, oh, there's more surface area for the bacteria. No, bacteria is bacteria.
I'm going to do a black light over it before anything happens. I'm going to spray Luminol on it.
Oh, man.